Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes. It's that time again. It's 8 o'clock on a Thursday. And yes, this is the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT. And I do have my two co-hosts right in line with me, talking about Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, 347-637-3220. Chat room is always available. Open season. I like an open chat room. Blow it up if you like. Whatever you want to say in it, go right ahead. Just keep it as civil as possible. But as always, with all three of us, engage in the conversation and give you information about the fantasy, the world of fantasy, sports, and politics. Before I get this show started and bring my two co-hosts in, I have to give this to the state of Indiana, to the city of Indianapolis, and all football fans that are fans of the Indianapolis Colts, and especially Peyton Manning. This song is a tribute to you. Oh, of course, it won't play now.
Jerry, why don't you just sing it?
Hold on a minute here. Let me now I'm trying to stop it, and my board is frozen up on me. Let me try this. Hold on a minute here. This is great. Let me try this again. Wow. That's killing me. That's okay. Well, while my board decides to get itself together, why don't I bring in my two co-hosts? Welcome, Jeff, and welcome, Black. Talk to me, guys.
Hello, Jerry. Hello, listeners. Happy to be here.
What's going on, people? What's going on? I don't know if the song that Mr. Taylor was going to play was Happy Trails to You. I don't know. Not sure.
No.
But...
No. It was very apropos for the moment, and I can't believe it. I tried it before I came on the air, and just like that, it won't play for me. And but that's okay. Maybe it's going in round and round in circles, not doing a thing. It's stuck in limbo. Hopefully, it'll get itself back together again. Let me try this. Oh, God, it's buffering, and it's killing me. Anyway, let's get this show going. The story, one of the biggest stories right now, as any football fan, a sports fan know, and quite naturally you guys know, and I happened to win a wager with Mr. Vic Gardner.
AKA the new ATM for 2012.
Exactly. So, I mean, and if you saw him on his comments on Facebook, Black, I think he's getting a little nervous about me, because the last two out of three wagers, I've won two of the last three. So I think he's getting a little nervous about wagering with me, because he quickly responded about he's still up on me. But that's okay. I had said on a Saturday show, and we have been talking about this for God knows how long, ever since basically just at the end of the season, let me put it that way, that the Colts would not sign Peyton Manning, wouldn't give him his signing bonus and retain his services for another year, especially when they have the number one pick and they have all they have so many holes in their roster that they need to fulfill, and they have a lot of free agents that are going to be going that number one pick. They already said they're going to pick Andrew Luck to start all over again. No way they were going to keep Peyton Manning. And he had he kept it pretty well together in his press conference yesterday. And but it's open season, and I want to get you guys' comments on that. And I want to also, after your comments, I want to talk about the status of where teams are in getting Peyton Manning. I'll go to Jeff first, and then I'll go to Black.
You know, this is, you know, everybody's been talking about this for months. I don't know, I'll put my two cents, try to put it, you know, in a nutshell. I mean, Peyton looked first class at the press conference, and, you know, he just is one of these guys like his brother. You know, he knows how to say the right thing. The owner of the Colts is some kind of rock star wannabe. But now he's going to have his chance, you know, to get, you know. And believe me, if Luck doesn't pan out, run his butt out of town. You know, I think just in salary alone, Manning has made over $170 million with the Colts, and I'm sure he made probably more than that with his many endorsements. But the thing is, you know, people say, oh, look at all the money that guy made. Yeah, and look at all the money that Irsay made off of him. He probably made at least twice that off of, you know, the sweat of Peyton's brow. And I think, I don't know how to verify this, supposedly a dozen NFL teams are interested in Peyton. I think some of them are just kicking the tires, you know, but, you know, because of cap situations, might not be feasible. I think, personally, I mean, everyone's talking about Miami. Miami is such a lousy sports town, I don't even think they deserve Peyton. I think Arizona is a very good fit for him. I think they have the cap room. They do have Cobb, but he was a bit of a disappointment last year. Peyton isn't that great in the bad weather, so I think it's probably best for him to play in a dome or play in a warm weather city. And, you know, just a few years ago, Arizona did great with Kurt Warner, so maybe they could recapture that with Peyton. I think Arizona would be a good place for him.
Talk to me, Black.
Well, you know, I'm in the heart of the Peyton Manning rumors down here in D.C. Right out of Peyton's campus, and he's not interested in the Redskins, but the last I checked out, the Redskin Park guys were still there up until about 7 o'clock trying to work on a game plan to get Peyton to D.C. to see if he can even listen to an offer out of Redskin Park. So we'll see how that goes. Like the Joker said, I heard about 12 dozen teams, maybe 6 serious, including your Jets there, Jerry. But I think a great fit for Peyton right now would be for him to go down to San Francisco.
Well, this is a couple different sources inside the organization, meaning the Redskins, have told the Manning camp and made it pretty clear to the Redskins officials he doesn't want to come there. So Vic, Ricky, McHale, I'm trying to think who else is a Redskin fan hoping that Peyton Manning will show up in a Redskin uniform.
I think you've covered them all.
I got three words for you. It ain't happening. That's all I got to say. And let me see if I can play this thing one more time. Here we go.
How do I say goodbye? The good time that made us laugh, I'll wave back. I thought we'd get to the forever, but forever's gone away. It's so hard.
That's what I have to say to the Indianapolis Colts fans in the city of Indianapolis and to Peyton Manning fans. It's hard to say goodbye, but that time has come and gone now. Still can be a Peyton Manning fan, but it won't be in a Colts uniform. I definitely won't be in a Redskin uniform, and from what I understand, and I'll be surprised if it comes to fruition, that Peyton Manning is looking to stay into the AFC. He's not looking to go into the NFC because I think the Manning family is looking to get both the Mannings into the Super Bowl. So in order for that to happen, Peyton Manning has to stay in the AFC. Eli Manning remains in the NFC, and they'll try their hardest to meet each other in the Super Bowl. I heard that on the – where did I hear that? I think I heard it on a New York station. WFAN, if I'm not mistaken. I think they had just Charlie Casserly on with Mike Francesa, which is the evening guy from 1 to 6:30. And he was on late around 5:30. And from what I understand, that Peyton Manning is looking to stay in the AFC. So all those NFC teams, which were the majority of the teams that people have been talking about, are going to have to pay some huge bucks to try to persuade or pry Peyton Manning from taking his talents or keeping his talents in the AFC. Possible landing spots, Kansas City. There's also talk about Houston. There's also talk about Tennessee. Denver is a possible landing spot for Peyton Manning. I'm trying to think of, is there any other...
to include the Baltimore Ravens in this mix.
Let me put it this way. Anybody other than San Diego.
And don't forget your New York Jets.
The New England Patriots, and I'm thinking what other top-flight quarterback that's untouchable in the AFC. And I can't think of anyone.
Thanks.
Maybe you two. The AFC I'm talking about, Jeff. I can't think of anyone else other than Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady in the AFC that is a quarterback that's untouchable. That any of those teams in the AFC, you never know. They've always been talking about. I've gone to these different websites, rotoworld.com, NFL.com. They're always talking about some dark horse team out there that haven't been named that could be in a running for Peyton Manning. I don't know if it's an AFC team. Don't know if it's an NFC team. But Peyton Manning said, and his camp has said, that in the next 7 days they'll make a decision on where they want to go, or where they're going to go, I should say. So,
he might be bringing some friends with him if the team has cap room.
Yes, if you notice, Reggie Wayne is a free agent. You know that I had said. I don't know if it's on this program. I think I did say on this program weeks ago that Pierre Garçon didn't sign his offer because he's a free agent. So there's the two main wide receivers Peyton Manning had besides Dallas Clark, and supposedly he may get released along with some other veterans that could be a package deal, or one or two of them could be a package deal with Peyton Manning. I mean, Reggie Wayne already said that he would enjoy, because he used to play at the U in Florida. So Reggie Wayne is used to playing in Florida, that he would welcome playing with Peyton Manning in Miami. And you know the owner, Stephen Ross in Miami, the owner of the Dolphins, wants to make a big splash. You know that LeBron, I think it was the last game LeBron played, had mentioned that he knows the Dolphins are looking for a quarterback, and he's making a pitch, his one and only pitch for Peyton Manning to come to South Beach. So, I mean, there's a lot of speculation, even on NFL.com, they had a survey with several teams. It was the Jets, it was Arizona, it was Seattle, and it was the Redskins. The majority of the people chose the Dolphins for Peyton Manning to show up in. Now, I'm not happy about this. I had said this before in a previous program that if Peyton Manning goes to the Dolphins, in my opinion, the Dolphins are serious. I mean, serious contenders to get to the Super Bowl. They have a decent defense, a pretty good defense. They have a stud wide receiver. They have a their running game is not that bad. It's not monstrous, but it's not that bad a running game. And they add a Pro Bowl, Super Bowl winning quarterback who's MVP for four-time MVP to that roster.
How much cap room does Miami have? That's
I think
like a lot of guys they'll try to get into. You know, the Patriots on the man.
Well,
then you're talking about bringing in Reggie Wayne to team up with Brandon Marshall, and possibly Pierre Garçon in the slot, along with Reggie Bush in the backfield.
Well, let me put it this way. Even if Reggie Wayne or Pierre Garçon don't show up there, or one of them shows up there, one's going to be cheaper than the other. They're not going to be the same price. But
don't forget, they got Devon Best now. Peyton can definitely make him into an all-star receiver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if they're able to go after Peyton Manning, and I don't know the cap space that the Dolphins have, but I imagine they have cap space and are able to fit Peyton Manning in their cap. They're going to make a strong play for him because he wants to make a splash. He wants to get a named quarterback in there, somebody who's going to put fannies in the seats. And don't think that if he gets Peyton Manning, that's going to put fannies in the seats. That's going to make the Miami Dolphins relevant in the AFC East for sure. It's not going to be a happy thing with the Jets having Mark Sanchez go against twice Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in the same division. That's not something I'm looking forward to. So
look forward to it.
Well, let me put it this way.
And if he ultimately signs in Miami, you know who you can thank.
Who's that?
The tuna, Bill Parcells, putting that team together.
Well, let me put it. Let me pose it to you. This guy, you guys. Now, we got all these teams out here. I've named some teams. You guys may have thought of or know some other teams that I haven't mentioned. I'm gonna pose it to you guys. Everybody's been doing the same thing, asking the same question. I'm going to join in and ask you two the same question. Where would be the best fit and why with Peyton Manning? I'll go to Jeff first, and then we go to Black.
I kind of got into this before, but I think a team you should be hearing about more is Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Warm weather. They got Larry Fitzgerald. They still have some talent there. And Cobb was a bit of a disappointment because some of these cities like Houston, they have Schaub. He's not elite, but he's, a very good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have to trade him. I don't think he's going to be happy holding a clipboard. And he is good. I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer at this point, but he is very good. The thing is, if the Jets sign Peyton, then that pretty much means they've given up on Mark Sanchez. I don't know if they're willing to do that at this point. you know, it's tricky with some of the roster moves. But and then there's some, you know, there might be a dark horse team because Tampa supposedly has a ton of cap room. But are they willing to give up on Josh Freeman, or is Josh Freeman going to be content holding a clipboard for, you know, it could be a few years. Who knows?
Buck?
Are we including the NFC teams in this?
Whoever you think. I'm asking you, who you think would be the best fit?
Man, the two best possibilities in my eyes would be San Francisco. I mean, how could you not want to hand off to Frank Gore and throw to Vernon Davis, along with that defense down there, the three best linebackers of football? And the AFC, I mean, hey, Flacco, man, you got to let the guy come in, man. Let the guy come in. Let him show you what pressure football is about. I play the Ravens as well. He'd be an excellent fit for Baltimore.
I'm going to hit Ravens first, and then I'll go from there. The Ravens are an older team. They're an older defense. They got the older pieces on there, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis in particular. You think if
you have Ray Rice. What's my young guy with the dreads at the wideout, along with Anquan Boldin?
Okay.
You have a tight end. His name escapes me right now. Very good tight end. They have tight ends, actually.
Right.
It's a great fit for Pace.
Well, I mean, you have a point there. What happens with Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco can grab that clipboard.
You really think that Joe Flacco is going to be grabbing a clipboard and not being asked to be traded because now he's got to sit behind Peyton Manning for 3 years.
He can have to be traded because don't forget that the young guys behind Flacco as well. What better guy to learn from than Peyton Manning?
I'm just saying this for the sake of your argument. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not trying to dispute what you're saying. I'm just saying for the sake of argument.
There's no problem either way.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Flacco. Taking Baltimore Ravens to the playoffs, whatever level of the playoffs, but he's taking them to the playoffs, and now he's got to sit behind Peyton Manning. You don't think that just like if Peyton Manning came and went to the Jets, you don't think that's a slap in the face to these young quarterbacks when they've had some relatively good success, even though they haven't been to the Super Bowl. They've had success in the playoffs. I think both of the two quarterbacks I just named, Flacco and Sanchez, have comparable records in the playoffs. So you think they're going to be content and not ask for it to be traded, sitting behind Peyton Manning?
They get asked to be traded. I'm not concerned with their demands. I'm concerned about the perfect fit for Peyton Manning. That's like saying you have a young Kobe Bryant, and you have an opportunity to get Michael Jordan his prime. You wouldn't go after Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
it's not just the egos; it's the cap. I mean, if a team that already has a established quarterback making a lot of money picks up Peyton, then they're going to be paying two quarterbacks a lot of money. And you can only play one at a time, and that could be a problem.
I don't see Peyton playing past three more seasons. I guess Peyton three more seasons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Two to three more seasons. I don't think he's going to play past three seasons. I mean, he could, but I don't think he will. So three seasons. That's a lifetime in the NFL, especially for a quarterback sitting behind someone. After they've been playing for several years as a starter, and all of a sudden, because Peyton Manning is a free agent now, and I'm not downplaying Peyton Manning, but I'm saying that just the mindset of Flacco or Sanchez. Peyton Manning's a free agent. I've been starting. I've had success in the playoffs, even though I haven't been to the Super Bowl, but I've had success in the playoffs up to a certain point. Now you're going to bring in Peyton Manning. I've only been here in Sanchez's case, this is my fourth year. And in Flacco's case, this is my, what, fifth year?
At the end of the day, Jerry, it's a business. You have to do whatever you need to do to get better. The windows are very short. I'm trying to get the Super Bowl. You can't really sit around and wait on the Sanchez to develop. Sanchez has been there. He's not progressed very well. Flacco, he's played okay football, not stellar football, but okay football. You have a chance to grab a paid man, and you do that.
All right. All right. Let me go this route then. All right. Say I wouldn't say who, but this has some type of ramifications with two quarterbacks in particular, where RG3 and where Matt Flynn may go, because Matt Flynn's a free agent, and RG3, depending on what team picks up Peyton Manning, may not need a quarterback now, and RG3. From what I understand, if the Rams' best chance of getting top dollar for their number two pick is to get a deal done before Peyton Manning signs with the team. You guys agree with that or not?
It could be. I think I heard recently that Cleveland is interested in Robert Griffin, and they have a high first round pick plus another first round pick later in the draft, and I'm sure they're gonna have to throw in some more. But that franchise could use a marketable star quarterback, and he's so great I can't even remember the name of the guy they have. McCoy. I mean, they could keep him as the backup. I think he was a second round pick. I mean, he's okay, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has nearly the potential as Griffin. So, and, you know, then they could try to trade the guy, but I don't think it should be an issue. If I was an NFL team, I would be very interested in Griffin.
Cleveland has a fourth and a 22nd pick. That's what they have. Yeah. What do you think, Black, what I just said?
I think the Rams need to make a move. They need to make a move, and they need to make a move soon.
Okay. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, I just saw an article on the BleacherReport.com about Drew Brees reportedly set to skip workouts without New Deal. So Drew Brees, supposedly is not a happy camper. For those who don't know, the teams had up until Monday to put a franchise tag on whatever player they wanted to keep. And normally they don't do it on quarterbacks, but they did it to Drew Brees. And Drew Brees, like I said, is not a happy camper. It's been reported that Brees was livid about the team's decision to use a tag on him. So from what I'm saying here is that Drew Brees will not be signing the New Orleans Saints franchise tender and will not participate in the team's off-season workouts next month. That is not good for your star quarterback, your heart of your franchise, your face of your franchise, for one. He has a lot of things going on in the community. I don't know how much this is going to raise the ire of the NFL fans in New Orleans, but this can't be a good thing for the New Orleans Saints, seeing that the team is, I wouldn't say stonewalling, but maybe lowballing Drew Brees at the time that he feels he's getting lowballed, so they could keep him. And I think it was the exclusive franchise tag, if I'm not mistaken, which is really prohibits him from even talking to anybody. He can't even talk to anybody about a deal. There's two different types of franchise tag. I think it's restrictive franchise tag, and the other one is exclusive franchise tag. And I think Drew Brees has the restrictive, which means that if he can't talk to anybody else, the team has the only rights of his. So the other one, I think the team, the player can go out and get an offer, and if the team wants to match that offer or with a first round pick or two first round picks, something crazy, then they can lure the player away. But that ain't happening with Drew Brees quite naturally, not unless Drew Brees, his talents have seriously deteriorated, and that hasn't happened yet. So Drew Brees, quite naturally, is looking for Brady or Peyton Manning-type money, and the Saints have decided, or they haven't come to an agreement yet. Now, they've been dealing with Drew Brees and his contract for 2 years. It just hasn't reared its ugly head in the short future or short time span. This has been going on for quite a while. So I can understand why Drew Brees is pretty pissed off about it. I don't know what you guys think about it. Talk to me, Brock.
Once again, it's a business. You're trying to keep that salary number low. I understand everything Drew Brees has done for that organization, but he has to realize at the end of the day it's a business. The Warriors are only playing their cards the way they want to play them.
What about you, Jeff?
I mean, I'm a little puzzled. You know, I'm well aware it's a business, but he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league coming off a great year.
Yep.
You don't usually see this kind of thing. I'm curious. The motivation and the communication, because maybe if it's just a temporary thing and they're going to remove the franchise tag, they should communicate that to Brees. It's funny. People love to criticize the players, but they forget. These guys sometimes they get screwed by. By management, just like all of us, except these guys get paid more than the rest of us. But I remember Brees' last year in San Diego. He was playing very well. They had a good record, but they weren't going to make the playoffs. They were maybe 10-5, but they weren't going to make the playoffs. And last game of the year, a quote meaningless game. He wants to play. Because you're supposed to want to play. And then he gets his shoulder injured. And, he was in the last year of his contract. And you could say it was because they had Phillip Rivers, but they didn't offer him a contract because of that shoulder injury. But if he had said, punked out of that game, came up with some phantom injury, and not wanted to take a chance in a meaningless game, everybody would have been all over him. But he did get hurt, and then the team drops him like a hot rock, and this is what these guys have to deal with.
Yeah, I heard something today that there's no loyalty in professional sports. Everyone's talking about being loyal to a team or ownership being loyal or a player being loyal. When it comes down to the financial and economics part of it, there is no loyalty. I don't care what sport it is. There is no loyalty. It's still entertainment, and it's a business. And this is the ugly part of the business, especially when you have a star player like Peyton Manning or like Drew Brees that once not getting paid and he got released, and this other one is not getting paid, but they put a franchise tag on him trying to work a deal out. And he's pissed off now. He says he's not going to come to the off-season workouts starting next month, which is not a good thing. And we'll have to see how this plays out over the next few weeks or whatever, if both sides can be smoothed over. The only way that's going to be smoothed over is to put Almighty Green. That's the bottom line here. Almighty Green is going to smooth all this over. Anyways, since we're staying with the Saints, or since I want to stay with the Saints, since we're talking about them, let's talk about this bounty gate and why the NFL broke this story itself. There's a reason this bounty scandal has broken out in the NFL, and it's not truly about punishing the guilty or stopping the practice because of It's inherited evil. Now, this is a report from the same site, Bleacher Report, that I talked about with Drew Brees. Bounties, and I had said this before, and this article just reiterates what I'm part of what I've been saying. Bounties, for the lack of a better term, have been around forever in the NFL, and they exist in the NHL as well. Ever hear of a player being put on the board? Look it up. Many retired players have come out of the woodwork to talk about this made-up issue. Few have denied hearing such vile things, but others confidently confirm its existence. Now, this is going to be from Joe Theismann first. Best known for having his leg snapped like a twig by New York Giants drug-fueled Lawrence Taylor on Monday Night Football. Recently was quoted in a Sports Illustrated article saying, in a sick way, I guess it's flattering. If you had a bounty on you, you were a pretty good player, and they wanted to get rid of you. That's one way to look at it. That's a pretty sick way of looking at it, but that's one way to look at it. Let's face it, NFL players are already paid to hit each other. I had already stated that before. The fact that at an added bounty of $1,000 or $1,500, as has been reported in the scandal, shouldn't really make a difference to these players. If one can motivate a million-dollar NFL player by offering him $1,000 to injure another player, what could you get the same player to do for $10,000 or $100,000? Fix a game, perhaps? Along with this, is, I said that because Jeff is a conspiracy guy here. So, but this is the point, kind of. I'm gonna read this whole article because it's pretty good. In the case of New Orleans Saints, many have pointed a finger at the 2009 NFC Championship game between the Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. There's a lot of vicious hits in that game, especially on Brett Favre, and a lot of them are illegal hits. Saints. A linebacker, Jonathan Vilma, allegedly placed a $10,000 bounty on Vikings quarterback Brett Favre. In that game, Favre was repeatedly hit by the Saints defense, but then again, that is their job. Favre, to his credit, echoed Theismann's sentiments. I'm not pissed. It's football. I don't think anything less of these guys. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. In all honesty, there's a bounty of some kind on you in every play. What fans should be concerned about regarding this game wasn't Vilma's alleged bounty. They should be concerned that the referees in that NFC Championship game failed to call numerous penalties against the Saints' defense for illegal hits on Brett Favre. Now, that is a fact. I watched that game, and I was cringing. I was cringing for the absolute hits that Brett Favre was taking, and they weren't calling. It was mind-boggling why they weren't calling some of these hits that the Saints were putting on Brett Favre. Perhaps had the NFL officials properly enforced the rules that day, the outcome may have gone against the league's pet project in the Saints. Recall how much hype surrounded that team post-Katrina and how the league celebrated mightily when they won the Super Bowl. The Saints have now been cast aside, so much so that just a few days after the scandal broke, the NFL Network pulled a re-airing of the championship game. I didn't know that one. That's a new one on me. The best question in need of an answer in all of this, however, is how did the story break? Investigative reporting? Nope. Whistleblowing player calling out a former coach? Nope. Just how did this front page news? How did this become front page news? The NFL broke this story itself. NFL security, for perhaps the first time in decades, as they don't appear to do too much, actually investigated its own players, coaches, teams, and revealed the ugly truth behind the bounty program in place in New Orleans. This is significant because the NFL wanted this story to come out. It could have easily received a report from a security division and filed it away, never see the light of day. This has occurred before. Now, you also hear the reference about what happened with New England. and how the tapes, no one saw the tapes. They got destroyed, and pretty much all the only thing happened to the New England Patriots was some fines, and that was it, and a slap on the wrist, basically. That's in my opinion, that's what it was. But the NFL wanted this practice outed. Why? Because of all the legal threats the league faces over concussions and post-concussion syndrome affecting its retired athletes. The NFL has to appear to be concerned about player safety. It has to try to make NFL football, in quotes, safe. This is what the bounty scandal is ultimately all about. Like drug testing, this is just another PR campaign meant to appear to be doing one thing while in fact doing the opposite. The NFL has known and allowed bounties to exist for decades. To clamp down on it now is merely to protect the league and the billions it makes from further litigation. And I'm going to ask you this, guys. Do you think otherwise? I'm going to black first, and I'm going to my conspiracy theory second.
Is this the same NFL league that made this big hoopla about HGH testing, but yes, to this day, have not tested one single player?
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm just putting it out there. And that article I read, read that article. It makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Jeff, what do you think about it? You're my conspiracy theorist. Talk to
me. Personally, some things in life aren't real simple black and white type things. I think this so-called bounty thing might be a shade of gray kind of thing. And I think it's acceptable, within reason, I think, for, bonuses, for big hits, big plays. But once you put that word bounty up there, that's a whole different ballgame. So I guess the issue is, where did they draw the line? Because if it was just for big hits and big plays, that's not quite a bounty. So these are very important details. The NFL, they really care about the players, kind of like the way a pimp cares about a to put it bluntly. And they are concerned about future litigation. And the Patriots also lost a first-round draft pick, I think, video thing. So a little more than a pat on the wrist, but when they got rid of the evidence, to me that reeked of conspiracy and cover up. And the reason they gave was idiotic. Well, they didn't want people to see it, so they destroyed it. Or they were worried someone would take it, so they destroyed it. Like they never heard of a bank vault or something like that. It's like you saying,
right.
I'm worried someone's going to take my money, so I shredded it. I mean, it was idiotic. They could have put it in a safe place, but they didn't want to, obviously. It's details. It's very important details, and I'm curious how who blabbed this, because a lot of stuff that goes on in the locker room stays there, and I don't know where I live. They say niches get stitches, but in my neighborhood they say it in Spanish. But it's the same idea, So. I'm curious, and supposedly they have a lot of evidence and whatever, and I'm sure for show, for litigation reasons, they're going to come down hard on the Saints. We can get into this a little later, but there's an investigation going on at Auburn, so we can get into that later.
Yeah, well, that was my next subject. I'll get into it in a minute. I think they have about 50,000 pages of documentation, and supposedly this has been going on since 2009, 10, and 11. I think it was 2009. I think it was the year after after they won the Super Bowl, or somewhere in the 2009 season, that the NFL, caught wind of this and went to the general manager and told them to get your guys, or whatever, tell your coach and whoever else you need to tell to cut this out. And the Saints didn't. And that's one of the reasons why supposedly is why they're going to be coming down extremely hard. Roger Goodell, I'm talking about, on the Saints with apparently suspensions, lengthy suspensions, hefty fines, taking away of high draft picks. So we're talking about nothing close to what happened to the New England Patriots. I would say this is New England Patriots at least maybe tenfold. I mean, because they were told to stop it, and they just pretty much thumbed their nose and kept it going. And the coaches were involved, which was institutionalized in there, and the coaching staff, especially Greg Williams, accepted it. I mean, and pretty much promoted it. He's with the Rams now. The Rams going to suffer because I think he's going to get a nice hefty suspension. Who knows about what players from the Saints are going to get suspensions? Jonathan Vilma, I think, is going to be a prime culprit in that. And there's a possibility maybe fines and suspensions for the head coach and the general manager, Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. Tom Benson can't be too happy about this, even though he said the owner of the Saints said he stands behind his general manager and his coach 100%. But he more or less got lied to by them because they were supposed to cut it out and they didn't. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. The next few weeks it's going to be the telltale to see what's going to happen, but let's move on. We got about 13 minutes left in the show, and I want to talk about this supposedly point shaving scandal that's raising its ugly head in the Auburn University basketball in Auburn University basketball. And the FBI right now is involved in this now, which is FBI is involved. Somebody's got some problems. I'm going to read this article. Federal authorities are investigating suspended Auburn point guard Verez Ward for allegedly point shaving involving at least two games this season. And this was reported by Yahoo Sports today. The report cited anonymous sources said that the FBI began an investigation in late February centering on losses to Alabama on February 7th and Arkansas on January 25th. NCAA officials say they're very concerned, very concerned by the allegations have been in contact with the school and federal investigators since the issue arose last month. The NCAA... This is a quote. The NCAA takes an allegation of point shaving very seriously because sport wagering threatens two of our core principles, the well-being of student athletes and the very integrity of intercollegiate sport, end quote. The NCAA said in a written statement Thursday, as allegations of point shaving, if proven, are also potential federal crimes, the NCAA will defer action to any process with the FBI has concluded. Now, there were two guards, two players from Auburn that were involved in this. Verez Ward, who is still suspended, and guard Chris Denton. They were both suspended on the 25th after the Arkansas game, but Denton returned for the next game. Chris Denton, I'm talking about, was questioned and cleared of involvement in point shaving, the report said. Supposedly, Verez Ward hasn't been that lucky. Auburn officials were made aware of a rumor regarding an allegation 2 weeks ago and immediately reported it to the FBI, the NCAA, and the SEC. Because of the nature of the allegation, Auburn is not in a position to make any further comment on the situation. The report said a player reported concerns to an assistant coach in late February. A player came to a coach Ooh. He must have heard something. They must have heard something going on, and one of the players on the team said, "Coach, something ain't right here." Auburn coach Tom Barbee has said only that Ward and Denson violated team rules. Ward didn't play in the final three games of the regular season or travel with the team to New Orleans for the Southeast Conference tournament. Yahoo Sports reported that other Auburn players were questioned about whether Ward tried to get them to participate in the alleged point shaving. Ward, a Texas transfer, has averaged 9 points a game and leads the Tigers in assists. In the loss to Alabama, Ward scored 3 points and had 6 turnovers in the 68-50 loss. And I think they were favorites in that game, if I'm not mistaken. And they lost that game by 18 points. And he played 17 minutes in that game. Yes, in fact, the Vegas Insider said Alabama was favored by 5 points in that game, and they lost by 18. Hello. Ward lasted only 19 seconds after coming off the bench in the 56-53 defeat against Arkansas before crumpling to the floor. Barbee later said Ward took a knee to the right leg he had injured earlier in his sophomore season with the Longhorns when he ruptured his quadriceps tendon on a dunk during pregame warmups. Auburn still covered the 9.5-point spread in that game. In between those games, Ward had his hottest streak of the season. He scored 53 points in 3-game stretch, including 24 against Mississippi State. Ward has not commented publicly since his suspension. His last Twitter post was on February 24th when he tweeted, "Can't win for losing, shaking my head." It was the last in a series of posts that day, the first saying that his knee was hurting real bad. Ward set out last season because of transfer rules and has 2 years of eligibility remaining. All right, we got 8 minutes left in the show. Jeff, you had brought it up earlier. I'm going to give you the floor and talk about this, and then we'll go to Black.
Of all the sports, the one with the most documented point shaving has been college basketball. There hasn't been in a while. I think the last documented occurrence was in 94, which was Arizona State. But this goes back to the early 50s. There's a little vulnerability because college basketball is very popular and the players don't get paid. It's kind of sad. I mean, I hope that guard at Auburn is innocent. But if he's guilty, he's looking at jail time. Auburn is Charles Barkley's alma mater, so right now he's just saying terrible, terrible. but the thing is, I'm not a great basketball player, so the first thing that comes to mind when you think of point shaving is start throwing up bricks. But that's very obvious. And the guy at the center of the 94 Arizona State scandal, he said that would have been real obvious, but he was a good defensive player. They usually put him on the best guard of the other team. He said all he had to do was ease up a little on defense, and it made a difference. If this guy starts making crazy turnovers and throwing up bricks, he's a moron. And to me, with these kind of point-shaving things, it's easier said than done because people blab. The limits for gambling, not that I would know firsthand, for college hoops are relatively small. Word gets around that the fix is in. Next thing you know, they're taking it off the board. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what happened in Arizona State. It was the bookie was a small-time, on-campus, semi-pro bookie. Word got around. It was the worst-kept secret. And this is serious business. It's against the law. You can't have your whole neighborhood know about it. And it's a catch-22. If you know the fix is in, you're going to want to put a lot of money on it. But as soon as you do, that's a huge red flag. So there have been guys, just for even being associated with point shaving. It's ruined careers and ruined lives. I'll tell you a guy a little before my time, but Connie Hawkins. I don't think they ever proved anything, but just because his name was mentioned, he couldn't play in the NBA. Eventually, I think he played in the ABA and then made it to the NBA. But that almost cost him his career.
Yep.
And I hate to see it, but there's been numerous, you know, going back to CCNY in the 50s, numerous college basketball point shaving scandals, and we might have another one, unfortunately.
Black.
I'm not surprised. As big as college basketball is, the billion-dollar business that it is every year, I am not surprised one bit. And I'm very surprised there are not more stories of this going around. On
okay.
The paper for a very good player to have an off night.
Well,
on the paper, there's so many games to handicap every night. About 30 or 40 across the East and West Coast. I'm not surprised it doesn't happen more often. You don't pay these kids. They look for that fast money.
You think the what do you think of the player in our article? Supposedly, that's what happened. The player went to the coach and said, Coach, and I'm just paraphrasing this, Coach, something's going on here. I don't know exactly what, but you need to look at you need to talk to your
He probably got approached. He probably got approached in the team.
Yeah. Well, that's I don't know what to say, man. I mean, that's you hate to see this. It lends credence to the fact is that these kids should get paid, and I'm on record saying that the kids in college should not get paid. Even though they've made millions and millions and billions of dollars are made off the backs of these kids in different sports, especially these high-profile sports like football and basketball, depending on what school it is. There's a lot of money to be made, especially if it's a storied team or a big-name team. And Auburn is not a really big name team, but it's an SEC conference, which is a big deal conference. Even though it's basketball, they're usually known for football, but basketball is pretty big in down in the South also. So we'll have to see what happens. I mean, this is going to play out just like the other topics that we talked about. All these are going to be playing out in the next few weeks or months, and see if it's going to have a negative result or a positive result, depending on what side of the fence you're on. I got 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to open it to you guys to whatever you want to talk about, and then after I finish with that, I'll be closing the show out. I'll go with Black first, and then Jeff.
All I have to say is we are still Georgetown. Took a loss today in the Big East tournament up there in Madison Square Garden, Cincinnati Day, double overtime. Very tough loss. But Hoya Nation, we're going to stick in there. Just wait around Sunday. See where we see it. We're going to go proceed and try to do something to March Madness. Man.
Jeff.
I guess we didn't have time to get into it, but a couple of knuckleheads in the news. I think one of the New York radio stations uses that term. Lenny Dykstra got sentenced to 3 years in prison for Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
And, you know, I thought he was just, you know, some redneck who used steroids and liked to gamble. But he's also a liar and a thief. And I think he's got some more charges on the menu. A lot of crooked stock investment type stuff. So he might be spending some more time in the joint. And Jose Canseco trying to make a comeback in Mexico, big shock, got busted for steroids.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that one. That I knew about the Dykstra. I failed to mention that one, but I didn't know about the Jose Canseco.
Well, it's been fun, guys. Catch you next week.
Okay. We're going to be going into overtime. I'm going to be closing the show out. I want you to tune in next week. Same time, same bat station with myself. I'm JT, along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And we make up the FSP Crew Show, 8 to 9 on Thursdays. And then coming up to on Saturday would be the FSP Show, that which is hosted by Vic Gardner, co-hosted by myself, Black jumps in. Jeff may jump in every once in a while or in a chat room. And we have a host of other people that jump in and out to talk and converse with us on Saturday. And on Sunday, we have the Master Plan. You never know what I'm going to talk about. I could be talking about sports, relationships, politics. It could be anything I talk about. Tune into the Master Plan, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And then also, and I got to get back to Kim. I don't know if you're going to be on there, Black or Jeff, but I got to get back to Kim because Kim Fun, who has Compassion Dikini. I think this is the last show before she does the climb of Mount Kilimanjaro. I plan to be on her show on Tuesday, which is at 4:30 in the afternoon. She has a very unique show, completely different from any of the other shows, which is a very good show, different from any of the shows we have now. So, as I say in closing, Indianapolis Colts fans, Washington Redskins fans, forget it. You ain't getting Peyton Manning. Yeah, Vic, I said that. You ain't getting him. He ain't coming that way. He don't want nothing to do with Washington, D.C. I shouldn't say Washington, D.C. He doesn't want anything to do with the Redskins, or I should say the Deadskins. Anyway, as I had played it earlier, I'm going to play it again. I'm not playing the FSP Crew Show closeout. I'm going to say goodbye, just like Boys to Men. This is the tribute again, like I said, to Indianapolis fans, Indiana fans, Peyton Manning fans. It's a sad day in Indianapolis when the Hall of Fame quarterback was released this past Wednesday. Boys to Men said it best. Talk to you next week. Talk to you guys later. Black, I'm out. Jeff, I'm out. See ya.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time that made us laugh, I'll wave back. I thought we'd get to thee forever, but forever is gone away. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. I don't know.
And I'll take